Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The PHNX Suns VIP Lounge, brought to you by our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. We greatly appreciate it. I'm Lindsay Smith. That's All Bookmen. That's Espo. And we are hanging out in the VIP Lounge because the Phoenix Suns take down the Utah Jazz 115-109.
Our point guard is an awesome god.
The song's going to be stuck in my head all night now.
He reigns from mid-range and above. Anyways.
Amanda in the chat asked if this was a Buscemi. Oh, no, Brittany. I'm sorry. Brittany in the chat.
This is most definitely a Buscemi. That was one damn ugly game, but one pretty finish. It's effective. It got it done.
This is how I felt about going into the game in the first place. I was just like, let's just get it over with. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how the Suns played this whole night. And it looked like they were going to blow them out by like 40 in the first quarter. It looked like they were on fire. And then, like, if you weren't really paying attention, it seemed like to me at least, and we're going to get into this at some point, every time I looked up, it was like a turnover or a Devin Booker missed jump shot. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then CP3 takes over in the fourth quarter and game's over.
For as amazing as CP3 played, he almost tied his career record for turnovers, though. He was one away from tying his career record, which is insane to think. But then that was the quietest freaking 33 from Devin Booker I think we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. We were sitting in here and I was like, Devin Booker's playing like shit. And Espo was like, but he's got 33 points. And I was like, I know, it's the weirdest thing ever. But like I said, we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll... Just a couple of little things. Sunder's Dunk said, death, taxes, and Phoenix Suns in the fourth. You know it, baby. And that is absolutely true. You always know that the odds are in your favor when it comes down to that fourth quarter and needing to get a W. And with tonight's win, the Suns officially move to 37-9 on the season, tying as the team's best start in franchise history through the first 46 games of a season.
Yeah, Twitter, tied, all right? Tied. That's just to make a point. But look, the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA and also tied for the best start ever in franchise history.
Yeah, and it was, before we start getting into the individuals, let's go to the bar first. Let's get some drinks.
Let's go to the bar.
The rip-through rum, baby, he got two of those nice little nugs tonight. Gotta love CP3, man. You just got to.
It's just,
Let's talk about CP3 right now to start the show.
Let's start with Chris Paul.
Because Chris Paul is just, I mean, he's just insane. And if you don't, I can understand why after so many years, we didn't watch Chris Paul on a nightly basis here in Phoenix. And you know, when Chris Paul would get some love across the league, I was like, yeah, he's okay. He's pretty good.
Yeah,
but he's not like, I never thought he was like MVP caliber or he was like, I knew he was an all-star level player, but he just didn't do the things that I thought, that made him stand out as much as other guards. When you watch him on a nightly basis, you just have such a damn appreciation for the way he plays the game. And I actually think he's as efficient a guard as we've ever seen in the NBA.
He's like a fine work of art that you only see in a textbook, And then when you get to see it in person, you go, oh, I get it, right? You see the brush strokes. You understand the intricacies, the Mona Lisa, and any of the fine pieces of art. I'm blanking on any of the
all of them.
What is the Starry Night one?
Starry Night by Van Gogh. Any of those things. I've never actually seen any of them in person. But I assume if I get to go somewhere in Europe and see some of these in person, I'll go, oh, shit, that's what my art teacher was talking about. But it's like Chris Paul. You don't appreciate it till you watch it on a nightly basis and you understand that the things that annoy you from afar are actually him being one of the damn smartest players in the league and understanding the rule book so well that he knows what he can get away with. He knows how he can control a game, and he's masterful. He's a puppet master. He pulls the strings both for his own team on offense, but then plays the defense too. It's unbelievable what he's able to do.
The way he crafts, you know, the game, it is really like he's setting up a canvas for things that he's going to do later on. And, you know, a few weeks ago I was concerned and I said it looked like, you know, he lost a little juice in his step. You know, he wasn't as bouncy with the ball as he used to be. And I was like, is this something to be concerned about? Mm-hmm. I started to see that bounce the last couple of weeks. And when you see him in his groove tonight, and I'm talking about when he's dribbling and you just see like him just, you know, I got you. I know what I'm going to do. Gotcha. Boom. That's when you know CP3's at his best. And he was in such a good rhythm in the fourth quarter. The Jazz had no shot. They had no shot in the fourth quarter. And I've said it a million times. When you have Book and CP3, tonight, especially CP3, you're going to be in good shape.
Well, Espo, didn't you say during the game, it's amazing to watch how consistently you see Chris Paul teaching his team the floor. Like every other game, you can pinpoint an action where Chris Paul is directing and teaching constantly, like, and reiterating. He's just making sure that those nuggets of information really stick.
Well, there was a point tonight. He scores a basket, which was an impressive basket. And as he's backing down the court, he's talking to Bismack Biyombo saying, no, this is where you need to be, explaining things. Either, and I couldn't tell, obviously, I was trying to read lips, but he was either talking about where he missed, where he needed to be on the offensive play, or telling him where he needed to be on the defensive play that was developing. Either way, it's those little things night in, night out that Chris Paul does that are more valuable than most people give him credit for. I know we give Monty a lot of credit for the change in culture and demeanor here, but it's also Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul has done as much, if not more, for that as Monty has.
Do you think that maybe the reason why we didn't realize just how much Chris Paul would have an impact on our team and all those little things is because, just like with Devin, sometimes they're not like the flashy mm-hmm. highlight. They don't necessarily go viral on Twitter all the time. Like the nutmegs obviously always go viral, but like every rip through doesn't go viral from him. Should. Every teaching moment doesn't go viral from him. You don't, unless you follow him really closely, he's on your team, you may not really see all of those little moments that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, it's a different type of leadership that we've seen from CP3 versus, you know, somebody like, you know, Steve Nash. You know, Steve Nash wasn't as demonstrative out there when trying to, you know, point guys in the right direction or teaching moments. He did that, but it wasn't as, you know, obvious to us mm-hmm. On a nightly basis. And what CP3 does in these games, he's just one of the best of all time at what he does. And it's just beautiful to watch. We are truly fortunate to watch him play on a nightly basis. I will never, ever back away from that.
All right, Gerald Bourget is here joining us from the Footprint Center. Gerald, welcome. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing pretty good, hanging out in the VIP lounge. We are in the midst of talking about Chris Paul. So tell us, what did you see from the point guard tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he just took over down the stretch. I think he had 12 points going into the fourth quarter. He finished with 27, which was a season high. And then he had, I think, 14 assists, almost a triple-double with the 9 rebounds. He was just dominant when the Suns needed him to be, because I think Book started like 14 for 27 and then missed his last 8 shots in a row. So I mean, he was hitting from all over the floor. And like Monty said, after the game, it's a luxury to have a guy like that. Luxury was the word that he used. He said it's kind of a weird word to describe a human being, but it is a luxury to have a guy like that that can just dominate and get to his own spots when you need him to.
What was the moment tonight from CP that made you laugh? Because you say you have one every night. There was a few for me, but what was yours tonight, Gerald?
That's a tough one. Honestly, the one that made me laugh the hardest was probably when he thought he got fouled on one end, came down, committed a clear foul. The ref called a foul on him, and he like pointed at the ref, like, what about on the other end? He just always seems to remember shit like that, like where he'll go back a few plays or to another game and be like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you call this same foul in January of 2006? Like, he just has that memory where he will always remember something like that. So it's hilarious to see him bark at officials over it.
Gerald, tonight, one thing that kind of stood out, and I'm not trying to bag on this guy because everybody really, really wants me to go on a rant about this individual. But tonight, it just seemed like against a lowly Jazz team that is missing all their star players, this would have been a good time for Landry Shamet to hit a couple buckets that were much needed at some very crucial times in the game. And once again, he came up short. Are we at the point right now where we got to start thinking about putting Shamet on the bench and not playing him?
I don't know if we're there yet, especially because you're missing campaign right now and you don't want to be playing CP3 40 plus minutes like they have the last couple of nights. So I think for now you need to ride it out. But look, like the way that he's not hitting shots right now is concerning. And it's a thing that, you know, come playoff time, he's not going to be in the rotation, especially if this keeps up, but maybe even if it doesn't. I thought he had a nice defensive stop on Jordan Clarkson in the post when he got ISO'd on him. And that was part of that that little run that the Suns put together to take the lead back in the fourth. But that's a really small silver lining when you look at the overall numbers and you look at how wide open some of these shots are. It just seems like he's rushed or he's trying too hard to live up to a moment to make a game-changing shot, and they're just not falling for him. So it is concerning, especially because this guy has been a sniper throughout his career. Like, that's the one thing that you've always been able to bank on with him. And right now, it's just not falling for him. So if he's not doing that, he's not doing a ton else to help this team. So it is something concerning and something to think about heading into the trade deadline for sure.
Well, the chat agrees that the Landry experiment should be over, because Code JJM gave us a super chat of $19.99. Thank you, Code JJM. And as soon as we can get that up on the screen,
he said great. The comment was the Landry Shamet buyout donation, not a typo. He's washed.
Right there. Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to not agree after watching him for 40 plus games and him not really have a single one that you could point to and be like, ooh, that was really crucial, that was a really good game.
There was like
it's tough. I won't lie to you. I just don't think you can pull the plug on that experiment when you're down so many guys right now. And, you know, you need depth to get to the regular season. That's what it's all about. You're only about halfway through the season. There's still plenty of time for him to catch a groove, get hot, and hopefully carry that into the playoffs. But, you know, if we're seeing what we're seeing from Shamet, Monty's not going to play him in the playoffs anyway unless he absolutely has to. So I don't think this is something to be worried about. I think you worry as far as you look at the overall contract. But for this season, you know, Landry Shamet minutes are not going to make or break you either way.
All right, let me just ask. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Are you getting in the sense that they're going to consider a move anytime soon to try to bolster that backup point guard spot with campaign on the shelf for at least 2 weeks, Shamet struggling? You getting any sense of that right now?
I mean, I haven't heard this from anybody, but I feel like in my gut, the Suns would be making a mistake if they're not at least considering it, because these next few weeks leading up to the trade line are going to force them to take a good hard look at some areas where they're still shorthanded. You know, you talk about the backup one spot, especially with Cam Payne out, that's a struggle. You talk about the four spot, you know, Cam Johnson filling in for Jay Crowder, six not even getting minutes at that backup four spot. If Wainwright is playing over him right now. So those are some things that they have to consider. They need another wing, and they need another guard who can create his own shot, which were problem areas before these injuries happened. So I think the next few weeks are really going to highlight those flaws on this roster and those areas where they can improve. So I don't know if that alone will make James Jones pull a trade, but it's definitely going to put a magnifying lens on some areas where they could really tighten up the roster for a championship run.
Put Jalen Smith at the two and call it a day. Over Shamit. Let's go.
Gerald, I'm getting breaking news. The PHNX decision desk has projected that you and I are right, that Sticks is not a four and he's a five, and that's why he's not playing.
You know, I got that same report here in the arena. I just didn't want to spoil it for the chat. So that's funny.
You guys must be watching. Well, never mind. We won't go into that.
We haven't really asked you at all about what Monty said. What did he share post-game?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously he would have liked to put this game away a lot earlier. But as he said, you just kind of want to, especially in these games where you're going against shorthanded opponents, you want to see if your system holds up, especially when you're down a couple players. And it did. The Suns did what they do down the stretch. I know this is the type of game they should have won by probably 20. But they took care of business down the stretch. That's the most important thing. And he did say after the game that Mikal Bridges is okay. He was a little woozy after. He said he got clocked. But he said he or the Suns wouldn't put him back in the game if they weren't confident that he was okay. So everything checked out with Mikal. So at least we dodged a bullet on that one on the injury front.
Gosh, Lord knows we need it.
Elon Musk in the chat with the $1.99 super chat. Shamit gameplay tanks since the Gerald article, of course. Also, Monica, you shut your mouth. I don't want to hear about Espo and Gerald.
Monica's comment said, yes, Espo and Gerald, in reference to the Sticks conversation, in case you are listening on audio.
Gerald, so when it comes to Shamit, that means you are the drama. Congratulations.
Way to go, Gerald.
I always suspected, but now I know.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, bud.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, before Gerald was able to join us from the Footprint Center, we were talking about Chris Paul. So let's keep on within that conversation. We have a few more things we want to discuss. First and foremost, we are naming Chris Paul our DraftKings King of the Game because he finished with a season high 27 points. He had 14 assists and 9 rebounds, just one shy of a triple-double.
I love the crown placement by Leah, making it look 3D. She don't care. She don't care where the lines are. The crown can go wherever it wants.
I mean, listen, Leah is the best crown placer in the game. That's why we brought her on tonight. It doesn't matter what Shane's doing right now. It's always irrelevant. When Leah's in the house, she knows where to put the crown.
Shane is Landry Shamit of crown placement.
Ooh.
All right.
That's just
he
mean.
He can't hit the spot he needs to go.
Oh, my right. God.
That's just
I'm waiting for Shane
mean.
To burst in the door here.
Oh, my. That's just, like, listen, I don't think anybody gets dogged more on this show than Shane by Espo.
Only about Espo crown
hates
placement.
Shane.
Only about crown
just
placement.
Absolutely hates
I
him.
Love the stash on
oh
everything
my
else.
God.
Back on Chris Paul, though. Fourth consecutive double-double for CP3. The most since 2016-17. So he is finding a little bit of that groove that he hasn't had for a while, and I think we're all here for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, listen, Chris Paul, again, just so efficient tonight, and he took over in the fourth quarter, and that's a lot of those points came in the fourth quarter. Like I said, man, he's just I'm running out of things to say about quite possibly one of the top three point guards of all time.
With that, the next question is, should Chris Paul be an MVP candidate?
Yes.
Yes.
He's a candidate. He's a candidate. He's a candidate. But, like, are we talking top five? Are we talking top 10? Are we talking top three? Like,
I would say top five at least.
You think top three, huh?
I think top three. They're the best team in the NBA.
Sure.
He's the most consistent factor. He's a guy that's raised the level of play over the last 2 years he's been here. He's leading, he's either leading or near the top in steals, leading in assists. Like, I get that his points aren't as flashy as other guys that would be considered, but what he does, most valuable player means the guy that's helping your team win the most. They have the most wins in the league, and he's doing it in a multiple of ways. I think he deserves to be top three in MVP conversation this year.
I won't say top three, just because I felt like he got kind of got off to a slow start.
Who would you put top three be right now?
I would say this, that Steph Curry is slipping down the rankings.
Yeah, because a month and a half ago, you could have said Steph Curry was at the top of that race.
Sure.
But he's been having a real rough go at it.
Yeah, Steph Curry would have been the one that I felt like. But I mean, listen, in terms of Chris Paul and the way he's performing. If he has nights like this, right, he needs to have nights like this in the premier games, against the best competition, right? I think that's when he solidifies himself as a top three contender. He's still waiting for that moment, in my estimation, a game like this where he just dominates. Because he just dominated tonight. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I'm just waiting for that. Like kind of like the Western Conference Finals, you know, game six. He put the fucking team on his back and was like, dude, we're going to the finals. Boom.
I feel like one of the hardest parts about this whole thing is that I think a lot of people and a lot of times we want to take all the different stats into consideration, right? Like assists, rebounds, scoring, all of this kind of stuff. And Chris Paul, his scoring hasn't been as high this season. Mm-hmm. But I also think that's by design.
Yeah,
I don't think that he's he's not missing shots. He's not...
When I say take over a game, I don't necessarily
This isn't necessarily to your point. Sure. I mean, just in general to why people would say, well, the offense isn't there. That's why he shouldn't be in the conversation or as high up on the board. But he's the most impactful player. And I think that's something that should trump stats when it comes to the MVP race.
Exactly.
In my opinion, anyway.
Exactly the way it did when Steve Nash won back-to-back. Like, you've got to look at it in totality, right? And I mean... He's 36 freaking years old. In the playoffs, he's going to turn 37. Like, he's not a spring chicken. He's not some mm-hmm. young dude out there doing this. You got to take into consideration his age as well and what he's able to do and how he's able to lead this team. I mean, I'm at the point where they need to start calling the Footprint Center the church, because I am praising at the altar of the point God, and I want to say hallelujah every freaking time he does something amazing out there.
This is no shade at your nicknames that you have handed out over the years, but I think that one is my favorite.
You're like, the rest of them sucked ass, but this one's okay.
No, I think that's super fun, though.
Yeah, until he doesn't play for us anymore, then we don't call it the church anymore.
No, just right now.
Okay.
Just right now.
I got you.
Code JJM said, CP3 is more important to this Suns team than Nash was to the 7 seconds or less Suns. Ooh. The biggest difference there is flash. What do you guys think?
I don't know about that.
Nash was the engine that made that team go too. I think they're equally as important.
Okay.
Because with that, both of those teams without their point guard are just pedestrian. But with them, they're next level. They're special. They're league leaders. And that's not a knock on CP3. We're talking about a guy that won back-to-back MVPs in Steve Nash. Chris Paul... and him being on the same level is actually a compliment, I think.
Yeah, that's I definitely would not say it's a no doubt decision right there. I definitely think that Nash was so valuable. And you saw what happened when Nash was not playing in those games.
Oh,
that offense was not looking the same. And the same could be said about CP3. If he misses a game, the Suns don't look like the same kind of machine that they usually do. So the efficiency that he provides is fantastic. But like you were just about to point, Howie Dewey says the difference is CP3 does play on the defensive side of the ball. And that is a tremendous asset to this team, especially considering that in the playoffs and when they play the tough teams, defense has to be their calling card. Otherwise, they won't win these games.
Larry in the chat said, trying to divide Suns fans from different generations is lame. I don't think that's the intent. I understand how it could come off like that, because we still love Steve Nash and that 7 seconds or less team. I think it's just a different era.
It's a conversation point.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here saying if you like Nash, then fuck you.
Because we absolutely love that team still. We love Steve Nash.
Right?
So I just want to make sure that you understand, like, we're not trying to divide by any means.
We're splitting damn hairs. They're two of the top five greatest point guards of all time. Like, there's no shade to either guy when you compare them and their value to this. So
All right, we're going to take a quick break because four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. Now, if you are not a new customer, you can experience the conference championships with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code PHNX and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. If you bet just $5 and win, bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code PHNX this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. That's 21 and older only, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Well, you guys missed when I referred to adding more legs on your same game parlay as the human centipede of gambling. And I made Gerald go, "Oh no!" very audibly. What it was just you.
No, I was here.
Were you there for that?
I was here remember. For that. I just glossed right over it.
All right.
And I was like, "Let's keep this train on moving." Like I'm gonna do right now. So Devin Booker did not necessarily have the best offensive or the most
It was offensive.
The most efficient offensive outing.
And that is our tonight's take your shot, because. My guy, Devin Booker. Do you want to do the read-in first?
Yeah, let me do the read-in first.
Sorry.
So COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you. Take it away, Saul.
Like, listen, everybody will sit there. They might look at the stats and look at the stat line and say, oh, Devin Booker, another 30-point performance. But when you look at the breakdown, 14 for 35 from the floor, that is not good. 35 shots to make 33. Oh man, come on now.
That's like Donovan Mitchell type shooting.
It's not efficient at all. And he was missing some bunnies. You can see on that shot chart that there was some close by shots that he was missing. And so he's tonight's take your shot because I would have rather him not take as many shots and look to maybe pass it off to an open guy. Because clearly, after that first quarter, he just didn't seem like he was in a really good place. He wasn't in a really good groove.
So you're saying, hey, Devin, don't take your shot. He's 3 of 13 from behind the arc.
Yeah, he
like that's just not good. At some point, I love that Devin's aggressive, but at some point you want him to go, not my night. Let's get the teammates involved. And he did kind of give way to CP3 there in the fourth. But, yeah, that's just not a pretty offensive night. But like the Cove Crazies are pointing out, he's still playing hard defensively out there.
He is.
He had that play where he almost got another block defensively where it was enough to stop the fast break and keep the Jazz from scoring.
He's been real streaky of late. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. He had the 48 in San Antonio, but then he had the awful night the last game against the Pacers.
Right.
Tonight, first half versus second half, like two totally different players.
That first quarter, he came out.
Guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to drop 60 tonight.
Yeah, 17 in the first.
Yeah, 17 in the first.
But again, one of the more quiet 33-point nights from Booker. It did not feel like that. But I'm telling you, the guy plays better on the road, and there's not a more hostile crowd than Utah, where they're going on Wednesday.
This is nothing about this.
Real quick. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you.
Okay. I am so anti they play better at home or play better on the road. Because of what just happened to the Cardinals and how much I had to hear about that dumb shit. Oh, they're a better road team. Then they get smacked on the road. Like, you play better on any court. That should be the rule. Like, you play good no matter what. He's played so well at home, obviously. I know he gets up on the road, or at least he showed that he's going to get up on the road after the Raptors thing happened. But I just play good, period.
He usually does. I just mean when there's a group of particularly hostile fans or one guy dressed as a Raptor, he seems to lock in, and that's just a little extra motivation. And Utah is known for that. It actually gets sometimes borderline abusive the way that they treat players coming in from opposing teams. So I think we're just going to see a guy that's locked in and on Wednesday wanting to make up for, you know, 6 out of 8 bad quarters and being in front of a group of fans that are going to give him the business too.
MCG Blue said, but I'm so happy that now when Book has these games, he doesn't give up on the defensive side, and now he has the supporting cast and system / program to secure a win.
He absolutely does.
And that's the best part about this.
I mean, I wouldn't say we're nitpicking necessarily, because 35 shots is hell of a lot.
We're nitpicking.
But you know, nitpicking would say Mikal Bridges needs to play better. I know he got hurt at the end of the game, and we're not saying, you know, I'm not saying anything about that. But like, Mikal Bridges has got to play better. He has not had a good last month. He has been wildly off. He's been almost absent on the offensive side. Like, that would be nitpicking right now because of the win. But
I was like, what? Where are we going?
That'd be nitpicking. I'm going to do it anyways, but that would be nitpicking.
Because people need to know where they stand. Because eventually we're going to talk about that.
You want to talk about Mikal Bridges?
Man, Mikhail's just got to play better. What? He just does.
We can save it for the audio only tomorrow.
Okay.
You can have a platform of 15 minutes of just, you know, going off on Mikal.
I'm not going to go off on Mikal. He just needs to play better on the offensive side of the ball. He is missing way too many wide open shots. And it's going to come to a head when they play. Let's just say on Wednesday, the Jazz have everybody back. Mikal better show up.
Yeah.
Because they'll get run out of the building if he doesn't show up. Because CP3 and Booker can't do everything, especially if you have a night like tonight. Unless CP3 is playing out of his mind, which he has been. So I don't know. I'm just going back and forth.
It just would be, nitpicking.
It makes things easier.
You're nitpicking, for sure. Sean said nitpicking, but true. Yes, nitpicking. But at the end of the day, it also is really valuable for your team. It takes the load off of Devin to have big offensive outings every night. It takes that load off of Chris Paul to have to show up huge in the fourth quarter to get the W. Like, it would be wonderful to have a little bit more consistency on the offensive end from Mikal Bridges.
Taboo's Tidbits basically just said that Mikal Bridges is the Chandler Jones of the Phoenix Suns.
Well, it is. It's complete inconsistency. One night you're getting 20. He's slashing to the hoop. He's making buckets. The next night you're getting 6. And it's just, give me a consistent, I don't care if it's 14 a night, just consistently do it so you can know what to expect. You cannot pencil in anything specifically for Mikal Bridges on any given night offensively.
And Brian is absolutely right. You are right, Catano. You are absolutely right. Bismack was the sweet baby face angel of the game. Give him his flowers. Yes, go ahead. Tell him.
We're all Bismack Biyombo boys tonight, as Bismack had 16 points and 13 rebounds. I love this guy.
He also had a block and an assist, too.
He's coming through and just doing the little things. But if I see one more person on Twitter go, hey, are there system centers? Is this just a system that favors centers? Like, that's A, being rude to Busy, Bismack, and undervaluing what he's been able to go out there and do, and then completely overlooking DA. So I'm sick of hearing that.
Taboo's Tidbits checking in from Austin, Texas.
Hey-o, welcome.
Not as far as the UK, which we had in pregame.
It's
but
not
we'll,
a competition.
We'll
okay,
take
Shane Texas. Did say, Shane brings up a good potential talking point. To be fair to Bridges, pretty hard for him to get going offensively when Devin is taking 35 shots.
Fair. I'm talking about the things that Mikal could control, which is when he was getting shots, he wasn't hitting them. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Devin could have passed the rock a little bit more.
A little
definitely.
Bit more, for sure.
All right, gentlemen.
You're right over there?
Yeah, I was reading the comments.
All right, gentlemen.
I was reading the comments. Is there anything else from gameplay that you want to talk about before we go into a code crazy topic?
Yeah, there was a stretch there in the fourth where the Suns won an 11-0 run and kind of got that separation that they needed. And CP3 had 8 of those points, right? Mm-hmm. It's, I know we talked a lot about him, but this team is so clutch for one of those runs in the fourth that either extends a lead and puts it out of range or gets them that lead and they keep it for good. I can't say enough about the poise of this team. A lot of teams would panic coming in after the third, especially in a game like this where all of a sudden you're losing to a bunch of scrubs, which I no disrespect, but disrespect to the Utah Jazz roster that was out there tonight. The Suns had no business being in this close of a game, but yet they somehow still kept the composure, came out and just closed it out. That is a sign to me about how good this team is, that even not on your best night, you're still not having the mental lapse that turns this game into a Buscemi. It turns this game from a Buscemi into a loss.
I kind of look at the big picture here. You know, the Suns have been fortunate to play a lot of teams that have missed a lot of players. The Suns were missing players tonight too. But this is when you want, you know, Jordan Clarkson, for example, you know, he had a pretty good night. He damn near tried to pull him back in the last couple minutes mm-hmm. on a couple of ridiculous threes. And you'd like to see somebody like a Mikal Bridges try to emulate that. Cam Johnson had a fairly decent game tonight.
You're going to let me give Cam Johnson my flowers. That was going to be my wrap-up point.
Go ahead. You do it.
Okay,
and
thank
then
you.
I have an
thank
apology.
You. We have to give flowers to Cam Johnson because at the pregame show, I don't know if we were all completely sure if it was going to be a Cam Johnson night or not, but I would say it ended up being a pretty good Cam Johnson night. He finished with 20 points. 3 steals, 6 rebounds, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. So, sweet baby angel Cam Johnson, here are your flowers.
Where's my camera, Cam? You know I've been in your corner since our player previews. We picked you to be the breakout star this year.
Pad this before he apologizes.
And I just want to say I am very sorry that I doubted you coming into tonight's game. You can give me a call, bro. We can talk. If you want to play another round of Only Cams, we can do that too. But I am genuinely sorry from the bottom of my heart
not seen Only Cams on one of our long previous episodes, check it out. It's a game we played, not something between Espo and Cam.
Yeah. No, it was a fun game for sure.
people that are new to the show, they're like, what the fuck? What?
Only Cams. What kind of weird shit is Espo doing with Cam Johnson?
So the last thing that I do want to mention, that because we have quite a few people in the chat asking about Sticks. Mm-hmm. Why is Sticks not getting playing time?
I mean, Gerald alluded to
it. Is it a trade? Are we keeping him healthy just in case?
He's a 5 and they've got too many 5s.
No, I don't think it was even that. I think because JaVale got in foul trouble like that, you know what I mean? Because that's what he does when he starts, you know? Like, and Espo was pointing that out several times. Like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Like, Sticks could have got some time at the 5 if they really wanted him to. I have a feeling something might be happening here in the next week or two.
I think he heard Sticks Kid and just went,
you played that song for him?
No. He went, I've hit the pinnacle of my career. I do not need to play another second in a basketball, Monty. I've lived the dream.
Oh, my God. I don't know about that, but I would like to think that was the case. I'll give you that one as
well. In a perfect world, he would get traded along with Shamit. But
we shall find out. All right. So our social topic of the night, we are going to hand out a Cove Crazy of the Month.
Oh, we are.
This is not something that we plan on necessarily doing every month moving forward.
We are now.
But we might. But the inaugural Cove Crazy of the Month goes to Josh Hunt because a few games ago, we'll start with this one. So he sent us this meme. Espo, do you want to read it?
It says, you each should read your own part.
Okay, I'll read mine. Hey, has anyone seen Espo? Want me to start over?
Are the Warriors the best team in the league?
Okay, start over. That was terrible. Yeah. One more time.
I can't
We're
see
gonna
the
start
fucking
over.
Screen.
Okay. Hey, has anyone seen Espo?
Hold on. I got this. Are the Warriors the best team in the league?
The Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA. Wait, in the world. Suck it, Warriors. Ahoy, hoy.
Yeah, I did mess that up, Tim, from Phoenix.
If you are listening on the audio, it's a meme, and it's essentially, it's not the Kool-Aid Man, but it's basically it's like basically the Kool-Aid Man,
but it's like a post-it.
Where it's like Saul does like basically Espo's Batman call, like, are the Warriors the best team in the league? And then Espo jumps through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
To make his statement known to the world.
Yeah, my declaration.
Which that was fun. But in addition to that, the number one reason why we are going to give Josh a huge shout out is because a few games ago, we were talking about my beanie. And we wanted stats on how my beanie has performed throughout the season. Josh went up above and beyond that and gave us legit stats for every single show that we've done this year.
Yeah, this is crazy. He has stats on when I'm present, when I'm absent, when everybody's present or absent. He has the color of my glasses as well. He has Lindsay's beanie with and without the beanie, which we're now 10-1 with the beanie, and I believe 19-5 without it. We have Saul with a hat, 19-3. Without a hat, I believe we're now 6-2. This is just next level impressiveness. Guest appearances when people have shown up on the screen. Flex from Jersey's 4-0 now. When Shane's on the screen, 2-0. Like, I mean, this is next level. Like, this is the kind of stuff when they show you like next gen stats from Amazon. Mm-hmm. We've got our own version of this right from one of our own Cove crazies.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you so very much.
Josh, this is your flowers. You get all the flowers tonight. So thank you for that.
But I don't think he's in the chat tonight, which is
so
sad.
He was earlier.
I know he was
at
in the pregame, but
I hope he listens to this one on audio and doesn't miss it.
We now are going to take it away and just give it back to Chris because she gets it every once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. All right, gentlemen, the last thing. We're going to open this up to the chat because we have been racking our brains all day about this. Espo came across, what is it?
The Entertainment Weekly put out the top 25 TV theme songs since the year 2000, right? And I went through and I had looked at the list, and then I asked the group in here, what do you think's the top three? And
we said Game of Thrones.
They couldn't figure it out.
The Office.
The Office was four.
Like literally every top show you could think of, we named. Yeah.
She got the OC.
The OC was number two, and Leah was the only one to get it. The song California from Phantom Planet.
The OC was number two on the list?
Number two on the list.
Okay.
By the way, Fresh Prince, I was eight when Fresh Prince
was
came out.
This is like since 2000.
Same thing with Friends.
Friends is a little closer. It was at least in this millennium that they played. Mad Men was number seven. Somebody had guessed that. Nobody's going to get number one. I mean, there's not a chance. Number three, I'm surprised nobody has guessed.
What's
Does
number
anybody
three?
Want to take?
It? No.
It's Succession.
But you didn't, Leah. But you didn't.
Succession, that piano, it's iconic already.
I haven't seen that, so that would explain
Maybe
why
Dexter?
I haven't.
Ooh, Sons
Ooh,
of Anarchy.
Ooh, Sons of Anarchy is a good one. Code JJM in the chat.
Tell
us what it starts with. What's the letter it starts with?
It starts with C.
C.
I even giving you a
Californication?
The C, no.
Well, that's a good one.
I would buy somebody. Well, no, I'm not going to say that because they can look this up. I
starts
gave you
with a C.
But I'll buy one of you lunch if you can get it in the next minute because there's not a chance.
Okay.
My only hint is my wife had me watch the show with her. It's the only reason I know what it is. Shout out Tracy. For this. Actually, a very funny show. It's a comedy. And it was a CW show.
Charmed?
Nope. That was... I'll just tell you.
I don't know. I'm just throwing
Crazy
out
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what that is.
They changed the theme song every season, but it was hilarious, the theme song. Go check it out, because if I play it here, we're going to get docked on YouTube. But
this is
go
awful.
Check it out. I was shocked that that was the number one.
Who voted on this?
I have no clue.
Just a bunch of dumb people.
I've literally never even heard of this show. Sure.
Same. Thank you, Brian. Yep, it is an L.
I thought for sure that The Office would be higher than four.
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean,
too.
That we all could hum that, even if you haven't
or
seen
Game
that
of
show.
Thrones.
Yeah,
I
who or, made that list?
Well, exactly. Brian's giving me an L as if I made this list.
Yeah, well, basically that's what it is. You did make the list.
Weed song is iconic, Brittany. Absolutely, that is a really good song.
I think The OC was a pretty good.
I never watched The OC, yeah. So I don't know.
Is that California song?
But you didn't recognize the song.
No,
I didn't. When you guys were playing
it
earlier, I was like, no idea. And Espo was singing it. I was like, that's not making
it
any better.
If I sing it, you're obviously not going to notice it anyway.
Speaking of which, okay, because what was the bet in pregame? Didn't you guys have to sing if Cam? Yeah, what was the bet?
No, if I had
first bucket.
Oh, first field goal. That's right. That's right. And then Mikhail hit it.
Yeah.
That's right.
One of his like three shots he made on the evening.
So. I mean, my percentages were pretty high considering you took 35 fucking shots tonight.
True. That's facts. Maybe we'll get a singing segment out of you guys one day, but not tonight.
Bryce said community theme song. That was a top 10. On the list, but that is an underrated theme song and an underrated show. If you've
also, episode one at the end, if you get a chance to listen to Childish Gambino and Abed.
Troy and show, Abed in the morning.
Singing a song in Spanish, rap song in Spanish.
So
it's
good.
A brilliant 30 seconds
in community?
Of television. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. It's
all right,
great.
You're going to have to send me this link.
So good.
Lindsay, have Lindsay sing the sticks on heel now. That would literally make your ears bleed. I cannot sing to save
Mike,
my life.
Full House was in the 90s.
That was in the 90s.
This is since 2000.
Okay, but Workaholics.
877 Cash Now. What's the other one? What's the legal one?
You're in a wreck.
Sweet
need
James?
A check. Call. Fudge.
Yeah.
What is it?
Learner Row is the way to go. Call 977-1900.
Tell me you grew up in Phoenix without telling me you grew up in Phoenix. Am I right? Oh my gosh. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another PHNX podcast episode. We appreciate you all. One more time, please rate, review, subscribe. It really helps us out, and we greatly
please
appreciate
please give us
your
a rating
support.
On especially on Apple Podcasts. It
five
helps
stars.
It helps us get that number up so more people can enjoy the show. It really would help us out.
And go do that and tell like the one or two haters that slipped in the reviews, they can go take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah,
right?
That's not going to piss them off anymore. Let's
yeah.
Do it.
I was going to say, that's just going to embolden them, but whatever. Also, if you haven't checked out our merch recently, head over to phnxlocker.com today to see all the new stuff that is available over there. You can get any t-shirt there for $29.99. Rep your favorite team. Be the envy of all of your friends because they're super dope.
Also, tomorrow we will start another deal of the week for all the members. So, and it will be Suns deal of the week starting tomorrow.
Yes. We will see you guys on Wednesday with another game against the Utah Jazz. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we will have an audio only podcast for you, and you can listen to that wherever you listen to your podcast. Until then, we will talk to you guys later. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at @PHNX_Suns. You can follow me at @LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at @Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at @GeraldBorgay. And you can follow Espo at @Espo. Espo, take us home.
Remember, we're a 5-star audio podcast and a 1-star video because you got to look at my face. Ahoy, hoy.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.